Well, all right, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you again for allowing this venue for us to come together. And, ooh, man, Lord, you gave us a good message this morning about coming together. I think it was a vision that somebody had of all of us being together and in one accord. Lord, I just thank you. That's what you're doing with all of us. You're bringing us into that one accord. And I know that things happen when we get into that one accord. One is that we're closer to you, Father. We're listening to you. We're listening to everything that you tell us, Lord. That's where I want to be, listening to you, everything that you tell me, Lord. And I know the people out there do too. And I ask, Lord, that tonight will be a special night. And Lord, I thank you that for all the work you're doing in us. And Father, I come against any spirits of religion or any kind of hindering spirits whatsoever that might be over anybody in this outreach tonight, Lord, that everybody would be free to speak whatever it is that you put on their heart, Lord, and I thank you for it. And I thank you, Lord, that tonight there's going to be revelations come forth that people need to hear. Some of them, some will, some won't, some all, we all need to hear the word, praise God. Thank you, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that we do have that word as a standard for each one of us. The standard by which we live, Lord. And we thank you for placing your love in our hearts, Lord, so that we can even love the most vilest person. Lord, that it's the love that you had in your heart is what we desire, Lord. And I thank you that you're doing that, Lord. I praise you, Father, for all the work you do tonight in each one of us. And I ask for your anointing on everyone here. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, all right. Let me close that out. Well, there's Missy. Hey, Missy. Oh, anybody got a prayer request? Missy's got her PJs on. No, it just looks like PJs. Okay. All right, anybody got any prayer requests? Everybody's all prayed up. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. What was that this morning? Let me. I want to try to relate to you what the Lord showed us. Oh, I think it was Marlene. No, it was David. He had a vision of all of us. Help me out, Leon. He had a vision. I believe, wasn't it David that had the vision about us all jumping up? And yeah, okay. It was a vision where we were all together, and there was a song he kept hearing, and people started singing it all together, all at once, started singing it all together at once. And then next thing you know, everybody sat down, and then all of a sudden, everybody at the same time, at the identical second, got up and started singing and praising God. The same song. It wasn't orchestrated. Nobody ever said anything. Just everybody got up in one accord and sang the song. And we've had words in the last few days, as a matter of fact, that God was bringing us into that one accord. So praise God. Yeah, that's what we're looking forward to. Oh, it might be. Missy, you ought to get in your car. Come on down. Tomorrow night, liable to be so good. I'm just saying. Not to tempt you in anything. I think you're froze there, girl. Your video is froze up. Okay. Oh, there you are. You finally popped free. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I thought we was going to have to do some deliverance there for a minute. Man, you were bound up. Oh, my goodness. Okay, has anybody got any prayer requests? The heaven's gates are open. The portals are open to heaven. You know, I was reading something in John G. Lake earlier, and he talked about when you pray for people and they don't get healed right away, keep praying for them. In other words, not the same message, but to keep praising and make them come back in there and teach a little more faith to them. That's why he did it. He always did it that way. He taught a little more faith to them, and then they praise God for their healing. And then he'd do the same thing over and over and over again until that faith message registered in their spirit and they understood that God heals, you know, and then they get healed. That's why he had such success. He didn't let them go. He just didn't say, you're healed and go on, you know, like that. What you can do if they believe like that. But if they don't believe like that, we have to teach them, don't we? We have to instruct them into what faith is. Anyway, just thought I'd throw that out there. Stay with them until they're healed. Do you have your hand up, Leon?
No.
Okay. I kept seeing it wave across. I didn't know if you were trying to get my attention or not.
I was cleaning the screen.
I got you. Okay.
My audio has got, might start breaking up. Yours, everybody talking was breaking up just a minute ago. So I turned my camera off and then it kind of cleared out and I came back on.
That's what it is. Safe. That's what it is. Just the bandwidth is, kind of being used up. I suspect David's on downstairs too, somewhere. But anyway, okay. Anybody else got a prayer request or testimony or praise report?
Let me just say one thing about that vision that David had.
Yeah, please.
Then I gave my verse for today, which everybody said was similar. So we all stood up and prayed and sang songs, and because it was so similar to what David's message was or what his vision was. So that was a good deal.
You remember what that verse was?
What his verse was or what mine was?
Yes, what yours
it was. I get it right here. It's Nehemiah 9:4-5, and it was talking about being in one accord and praising the Lord.
Amen. Yeah. Do you mind reading it? You got it right there?
I will have in just a second.
Okay. Yeah. It's amazing what happens in these prayer meetings in the morning sometime.
Nehemiah 9:4-5, I believe I said. Yeah, Nehemiah 9:4-5. And it goes, then stood up upon the stairs of the Levites, Jeshua and a whole list of other people that I don't want to read, and cried with a loud voice unto the Lord their God. Then the Levites, Jeshua and that same whole group of other people said, stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever, and be blessed by thy glorious name, which is exalted above all, blessing and praising. So Sue actually said, wow, that sounds just like David's vision. So we just stood up and started praising the Lord.
Amen. People just got up, started praising the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, and praising God just like that. Yeah. Amen. Y'all ever do that? I know y'all do. I know you ain't scared to jump up and praise God. Come on now. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Anybody else got a testimony or a praise report? Or would like to pray about something? Or talk about something. Yeah, Missy.
This morning, I pulled up on my phone this song by Big Daddy Weave, Redeemed. I just love that song. And
My Redeemer?
No, Redeemed by Big Daddy Weave.
Yeah.
And anyway, so, and what came to my mind was a bunch of verses in Romans 6. I love that chapter, you know, saying about that we're freed from sin and about, two of those verses says that. So anyway, so I played it for Merle and I was just reading these different verses in Romans 6. And then when it's done, it went back and started playing again, and it was on shuffle, and it shouldn't have done that. And and so I pressed for the next song to come up, and it kept playing that song. It did this like three, four times or whatever. And I thought, well, this is weird, because I looked at my settings, and I had it on shuffle. It shouldn't have been doing that. So I thought, okay, maybe it's just acting stupid, acting really screwy. So I clicked on another song and let it play just a little bit. And then, I pressed for the next song and the next song did come. So it was just like the Lord just really encouraged me with that, because it was like he wanted that song to really, He was really just sending a loud message with that song. I mean, because he's the one that kept doing that. It kept playing over and over. As long as I had it on that, like I said, I clicked on it like 2-3 times, you know, for it to go to the next song. After it finished playing the first time, it started to play again, and I was like, whoa. And I thought maybe I hit it by accident for it to go back to the beginning of the song, but apparently I didn't, because I kept doing that. So I was just so encouraged by that. That song always, always just so encourages me. It's an awesome song for anyone who is, the enemy's just trying to beat up with condemnation. So I just thought I'd share that. I was just
Amen.
Like, wow, Lord, cool.
Yeah, go ahead, Leah. You had your hand up.
Nah, I was trying to get my screen back to where I needed it.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
That's okay.
I'll have to cut my hands off so I don't do that.
All right. All right, anybody else? I want to go over some things here, if I can. We've been in Weakness, Way to God's Power. Awesome book. It's an awesome book about faith, for the people who are weak in themselves. I'm going to mute you, Leon. Okay. Well, I guess I would. Okay. There is some exciting things in here. There's some things that we all need to know that we've probably heard before, but it bears repeating a lot. David talks about the circumstances that God puts in front of us, and how that circumstances never stopped Jesus from doing what God wanted him to do. Never did. The boat left. He just went out took him a little stroll out on the water. You know, if they didn't have any food there, he just multiplied it. And the circumstances did not stop Jesus. So what I wanted to start in is, it doesn't make any difference what your need is. Every need that you have as a child of God, God has promised to meet that need. Now, you're going to be tried. Everybody's going to be tried. We've all been tried. And because you're going to be tried, God wants that great response to keep you from going around that mountain all the time, you know. And he wants you to stop going around the mountain and start overcoming. Okay, now I'm going to start in here. It says, you're going to be tried. How do you get tried? By lack. You get tried by lack. God suffered the Israelites to lack so that he might know what they would do in Deuteronomy 8 and 2 and 3. What are you going to do when you lack? Do you ever or never get sick? No, you get sick sometimes. But the Bible says by his stripes you were healed. It's a trial of your faith God's wanting to see. What are you going to do with this is what he's wanting to know. We're being tried. We're going through the wilderness just like the Israelites went through the wilderness. And when they went through the wilderness, they suffered lack in this kind of a way and then in that kind of a way and then in this kind of a way. And God answered miraculously. And right now, the righteous, just like always, shall live from faith, it says in Galatians 3 and 11. The life of faith is an exciting walk with the Lord. You'll see many miracles if you walk the walk of faith. And that's our purpose for being here, by the way. God considers a person who walks by faith and speaks faith and uses faith in the circumstances they get in to be righteous. He calls them righteous, just like Abraham when he believed God about his seed. It didn't have anything to do with salvation. God called Abraham righteous because he believed God in that particular point. And you know what? God calls you righteous every time you believe the Word of God and every time you believe in the prayers that you've prayed. Whenever you pray, believing you have received, as Mark 11:24 tells us. And when you keep on holding on to that in faith until you see it manifested, then God calls you righteous. And look at it as if Jesus is taking you by the hand. Now, here's what part I was getting to. Look at it as if Jesus is taking you by the hand. He's going to show you something tomorrow. He's going to do a miracle through you tomorrow, big or small. He's going to show you how to walk by faith. Jesus walked by faith. His disciples walked by faith. And people who are in the world are under bondage, but people who walk by faith are not under that bondage. When Jesus sent out his disciples, he told them, don't take anything with you. Don't take any money. Don't take a jacket. Don't take nothing with you. He sent them out in total weakness. And later he asked him, he said, well, when I sent you out without anything anything with you, did you lack anything? What'd they tell him? Said, no, we didn't like nothing, Lord. They found out what it was to walk by faith. They didn't need to bring their own supply because God was there. Now, these things like this is going to be important in the days ahead. He did it on purpose. And now, in this day, the church is supposed to be doing the same thing. And if you obey what Jesus said, you'll be weak because Jesus made some statements in there that puts you in a position of weakness. But every time you're going to see miracles. When you obey the principles of Jesus, you're going to see miracles because you're always in a position where you can't do it and you can't handle it. And he does it on purpose. Matthew 14:25, and in the fourth watch of the night he came unto them walking upon the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a ghost. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee upon the waters. And he said, come. And Peter went down from the boat and walked upon the waters to come to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. Well, that's the word sozo right there. By grace are you saved through faith. And he quotes Ephesians 2:8, of course. Verse 31, and immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and took hold of him and saith unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were gone up into the boat, the wind ceased. And they that were in the boat worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. You know, the Lord saved Peter here, even in his failure. Every trial is from God. Every trial. God is sovereign. A lot of times we get mixed up in that sovereignty issue, and we think, well, he can't get me out of this one. I ain't no way he gonna get me out of this one. Yeah, go ahead, Missy.
Can you tell me what page you're on?
No.
Please?
I'm at the top of 149 now.
Thanks.
Okay. The circumstances you get in are not by accident. There's no such thing as an accident or luck. That's for the pagans to believe in. When Peter took his eyes off Jesus and saw the wind, then he judged by the circumstance instead of judging by the word. Don't we do that a lot ourselves? We judge by that circumstance we're in rather than what the word of God says. When Peter took his eyes off Jesus and saw the wind, then he judged by the circumstance instead of judging by the word. If he would have judged by the word when the Almighty God said, come, then Peter must have been able to do it since he said it. And that's the way we've got to look at these promises. We must be able to do it because he said it. It's real simple. Peter believed if Jesus said it, he'd be able to do it. And then he stepped out of the boat. But then what happened? He got his eyes on the circumstance rather than Jesus. And that's what happens to us a lot of times. Myself, I've done that too many times in the past, is get my eyes on my circumstances rather than what the Word of God says. But, you know, we're learning. We're steadily getting there. We're steadily believing that if we keep on believing that God's going to manifest that prayer anytime, most anytime. It's already been done. We have to look back. Remember what we talked about last week? You got to look back. You always get fearful when you get your eyes on the circumstance because you don't have any hope. Get your eyes on the Savior. And you can walk on water when you get your eyes on the Savior. Praise God. The laws of faith are totally above the laws of nature. They're always above the laws of nature. You can't fathom how God could do some of these things. You can't fathom how the lot can come up like it does. And he's talking about casting lots here. Can you think about flipping a quarter up in the air and it coming down exactly the way God wants it to come down? We had a guy here that flipped quarters until he did it 25 times. He got 25 heads. The Lord was trying to tell him, said, son, you got to go. You got to go to Florida. And that's what he did. He flipped it. Well, I just don't believe that lasted. And then it come up heads again. What do you think the odds of that are? Astronomical, isn't it? Astronomical. I've asked the Lord a question before. Because I know he can answer me. You know, if you know that God's going to answer you, I flip five at a time, five coins at a time. And he'll answer me that way sometimes, you know. I'll get five heads or I'll get five tails, you know, whatever you ask. Can you think about flipping a quarter up in the air and it coming down exactly the way God wants it to come down? Don't you know an angel can sit there and do that? He's already in tune with God. He knows. The Holy Spirit's there. He can do it. The lot worked. Go back and study it. The lot worked. And that's in Sovereign God. Y'all can go in and look, and he did a little study on that. Why? That wasn't gambling because they believed in the Sovereign God. They might have been gambling to some people. That might have been gambling to some people, but it wasn't to the Israelites. They believed in the sovereignty of God, and they believed God would answer that way, and he did. He did consistently, even to the extent of finding one man out of all Israel, and that happened quite a few times. Saul was picked out that way. Saul's son was picked out that way when he made a mistake with eating the honey. Jonathan was picked out of all Israel. You know, they took the lot by the tribe, and then they went to the lot by the family. Then they went to the lot by the house, and they cast lots several times. But you know what? If you believe in luck, what are the chances of the things coming out to pick one guy out of all Israel? That's phenomenal. That's a lot of numbers, but God is sovereign. Well, it can be done in our day, like I said, with a quarter. I don't recommend that people lead their life that way, but I have seen mighty miracles come to pass that way, where the answer had to be from God. But I'm just pointing out that there's no such thing as luck. You know, he's right as far as using the lot all the time. We ought to be led by the Spirit, right? We need to train ourselves to get close to God and be led by the Spirit of God more so than the lot. And the lot can be a confirming answer, you know, if you'd like. If you remember from reading in the book of Job, there was no luck involved in that. God was sovereign even over the devil. And he's still sovereign even over the devil. God sends the devil against you so you can whip him real good. Did you know that? God will send him against you so you can whip him. So that you learn how to walk by faith and not by sight. The devil is the one who, in most cases, administers the curse. Who sent the curse? The Bible says God sent the curse. I don't care what men say. The Bible says God sent the curse. Who administers it? The devil. He loves to do it, too. It's his nature to do it. But I'll tell you, God sent the curse, and God sent Jesus to deliver from the curse. He's working both sides. God sent the curse to cause people to repent and turn to him. He sent Jesus to those who will repent. And in the circumstances that we get ourselves into, God wants to show us how to give the devil a bloody nose. He wants to show us how to overcome in the circumstances just like Jesus did. Jesus wants to move through his hand. Who's his hand? We're the hand. We're the hand of God now. Isaiah 53:10, the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. And that means God is going to be successful in doing what he did through Jesus, through you. That's what it means. God is going to do that, and we should consider it done. He did this for Peter, but what was the whole point? Excuse me. You may think there has to be some real reason for this, that you had to be saving souls or something. No, it didn't do anything for Peter to get out of the boat, except he learned a lesson. And you ought to ask God to bring these lessons to you, because it's really valuable to have these lessons that we can look back on and tell to other people to encourage them in the faith, and on and on. God wants to do miracles through us. And right now, we've got a short time left for learning some lessons from God. We have a short time left for this. And then great trouble is going to come, greater trouble than this land has ever seen. And people who walk in Psalms 91 type faith And who understand about the curse, those are the people who are going to be saved through the midst of this great trouble. And a lot of the people are not going to be saved. A lot of Christians, the majority, are going to die through this trouble because the people coming against this land don't like Christians. And I'm going to stop there. Go ahead, Leon. Can't hear you. Let me unmute you. Go ahead.
There was a girl in the gathering this morning that had a dream, and it was almost like what you're talking about here. Lakeisha is her name, and she had a dream that she was somehow with this DEA group, and that's the Drug Enforcement Agency, for those that might not be keen on those three-letter agencies. But anyway, somebody came in and started shooting, and they're shooting everybody. And the guy came up to her and pointed the gun and said, you can't do that.
Your audio is messing up.
Never.
Well, go ahead and tell it.
Okay.
Shut your video off. And tell it, maybe. Yeah, it might help.
Excuse me.
That's okay.
I don't know if I can get to that. Anyway, the guy pointed the gun at her, and she said, "You can't do that." And he said, "Why not?" She said, "Because I know God." And that was the circumstances that God delivered her out of as well in the dream.
Amen. Psalms 91 kicking in right there.
Absolutely.
Amen. So I said that to encourage you to not allow circumstances to get your eyes off of Jesus. When you got your eyes on Jesus, you won't fail. You'll be walking across that water. We'll all be walking across that water, doing the things that God wants us to do. You know, God has blessed people with, some people with good faith or faith for the moment. And you've heard about miracles that's happened. And we've all seen good miracles in our walk with God, but it's since I've been out here, it's just been awesome what I've seen. I never could believe that God would do some of the things that he's done while I've been here. And it's not because of me. I had God in a box. He could heal, he could deliver, he could set free, he could set people free. He could do this, he could do that. He could fix a leak in a pipe. He did that for me. He could fix a car. But could he stop the weather? When you see a circumstance happening, could he stop your truck from getting mauled by a trailer with a wild man, David, on a tractor going down the hill, jackknifed, Yeah. If you believe, could he keep a couple old country boys going down a hill backwards on snow from running into a car and rolling off a cliff? Yeah, I didn't believe that. And that day, man, I was begging God to help us out, man. I'm going to tell you. And David was too. And he did. And he did. You know, and that's the thing. God puts us in these miracles, miraculous situations, to teach us that, hey, look, he's a great God, he's a good God, he's a big God, and he can do anything. He can save us out of every circumstance if we'll believe. If we'll believe. Yeah, Missy.
You know, when you first read that part about, the circumstances and stuff, and And, you know, just because we don't get our answer to our prayers, you know, right away, I just got a visitor. And anyway, I was kind of like talking to the Lord about, you know, that this morning, you know, not to get, you know, about not getting discouraged and stuff like that. And I had asked him a question, and he didn't really answer my question, but this is what he gave me. And I sat and I thought about it for a while, and I had to look up the meaning of Joab. And Joab means Jehovah is Father. And so the verse that I got right where I landed was this wise woman. This was a wise woman that was talking to Joab, and David recently shared this. It was about Sheba, the son of Bichri, you know, and he was talking about how, you know, Bichri, you know, kind of jokingly represents bickering or whatever. But anyway, it's this story about he was going to go in and totally wipe out this whole city to try and get this one man, but this wise woman. And really, most of the story doesn't really have anything to do with it. With the Lord just giving me this one verse here, but it was she was talking to Joab, and she says, "Hear the words of thy handmaid." And he answered, "I do hear." And what the Lord was telling me was, "Missy, I hear you." I hear your prayers. I hear you, you know. But it was kind of funny. I had to kind of chuckle about it, you know, to myself. So he was just, you know, which makes me think of in Isaiah, I think it's 64, it says something about he answers before we call, and yet while we're still speaking, he hears, or he hears yet while we're still speaking, or something like that. So I was just like, okay, Lord, that's okay. Thank you. In other words, he says, I hear you, and just because I haven't answered yet, or you haven't seen the answer yet, doesn't mean that I'm not gonna grant you your request. And I know he's gonna answer it. Sometimes it's just little. It's like, okay, Lord, give me patience.
Yeah. Anyway. Well, you know, that's something else that I learned today is something that I did learn is that when you ask God, you know, I asked God here 6 years ago about a question. I had a question. He said, yeah, very soon. He said, very soon. I said, when's this going to happen? He said, very soon. That's 6 years ago. It ain't happened yet. So his timetable, so you have to be a little more specific with God than you do. And so what I've seen is, I saw David do this. He said, Lord, he said, when is this going to happen? Is it going to happen in your soon, or is it going to happen in my soon? He said, Lord, is it going to happen in my soon? You know, because my soon is different than your soon. My soon is what I want to see it done in. And the Lord told him, yeah. I said, why didn't I think of that? Dadgummit. that's something else I learned, you know. Just be more specific in your prayer request. And man, I was elated when he told me that 6 years ago. I was sitting on a bench over in the park behind the library. And he said, very soon. I said, oh man, great. Thank you, Jesus, you know. 6 years later, I'm still waiting. But it's God's timetable.
Right. Do I have to say what I always say? With the Lord, a day is a thousand years, and a thousand years is a day.
No, you didn't have to say that.
I did.
You could have said anything else but that. Come on now. Yeah, well, you're right. You're right. You're absolutely right. God doesn't work in time. The only time he works in time is when we specifically ask for something in our time. And so I learned a good lesson today. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Yep.
He sees the end from the beginning.
Yeah. He sees the end from the beginning.
When he says it, I gotta use this hand thing again.
I see.
When he says it, you know, this is him saying it. It's the beginning, and it being accomplished is here, the end. But since there's no time, with God, there's no difference between the end and the beginning. They're here. There's no difference. With God, the end and the beginning are together. Because when he says it's accomplished, there's no time, space, in between. Because with God, there's no time.
Amen.
That was so awesome when the Lord gave me that revelation.
Amen.
Crazy.
Amen. Now, was it this long, or this long, or this long? Well, you're right. God doesn't have a time schedule. He does it in his own time. But like I said, though, we can be specific and say, Lord, is it going to be in my soon or your soon? Praise God. So that's what I learned there. But the circumstances... we can't allow the circumstances to get in front of Jesus, because Jesus said, you know, God said, and if God said it, it's true, and anything I see is not true, right? Amen. Okay. Anybody else got something they want to talk about or comment on what we've been talking about here, a little bit of faith? Yeah, go ahead, Andrew.
Well, today I was reading Psalm 55, and Psalm 55 and 9 is a really a good verse, and 13 is another good one. I'll read you 9. When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. And
did you say 55?
55 and 9.
559?
Yeah.
Psalms?
Psalms, yeah. 55:9.
What does yours say?
When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me.
Mine says... Psalm 55:9.
Mine
says, destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongue, for I have seen violence and strife in the city.
Oh, sorry, 56.
Okay.
What?
Well, I said, what in the, where is it?
Well, my, it was like on 5.
56. You say 56?
Nine.
Okay. Hey, that's the same one you were talking about a while ago.
Yeah. Well, what's, right. What's your saying 13 anyway?
Go ahead.
Well, the last one, you.
Yeah, for thou hast delivered my soul from death. Hast thou not delivered my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living?
Mm-hmm.
Where's yours say?
That's what it says. You're reading from a King James then?
No, from the ASV.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess it's the same.
Well, no, it's not the same. It's, what are you reading from, ESV?
No, King James.
Oh, King James.
Yeah.
Oh, it's the same. Okay, I got you.
For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? Is that what you said?
Yeah. Yeah, basically it's the same thing, yeah.
Well, no, anyways, like, sometimes a good verse for me to remind me when you're going through some trials there and you're trying to, the tempter's trying to convince you of something different, is a verse that I mentioned one time before, and it's in John 14:26. It's a key verse for me that I have up on my desk there that I look at every morning when I wake up. But the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring to remembrance all that I said to you. So I always find when that tempter comes, you know, that he's going to bring stuff to remembrance to you, because he's going to send the Comforter in his name. And he's going to remind you at that point when you most need it to stand in this faith. That's what I find is a real good verse, because it's the Almighty's word, and he said he's going to do it. So
amen.
He sends you the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, and the Father said he would send it. And if the Father says he would send it, and he's our Father, because Jesus said he was our Father, he taught us to pray that way, then he's going to send this Comforter, and he's gonna remind you when you most need it, to stand on what you need. And I like that verse. So
amen. Well, that one, that 27 is a good one too. I like that too. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world gives. Give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be fearful.
Amen.
We like that. We want that joy. We want that peace. The peace is understanding that God is sovereign, that he's in control.
Mm-hmm. I always did like what it said in Ephesians about peace too, where the two are made one, thus making peace.
Yeah.
Christ. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. Well, that's it for me.
Okay. Anybody else? Anybody else got a scripture they like?
I did find a list of temptations that you would go through in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. He lists a bunch of stuff that the people in Corinth actually went through, and I believe the apostles also did. So, you know, sometimes you think you're the only one going through these things, and so it's got a massive amount of list here, but it also has some good things too. He's kind of comparing the two, like he's got a whole verse there that talks about in kindness of the Holy Spirit, in love unfretted. You know, you're not pretending there, unfretted. In the word of truth, and then he goes above this is a list in tribulation, in needs, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in turmoils, in toils, in watchings, in fastings, and then it goes into a bunch of good things, and then it gives you one for one after that, where it says, as chastened and not killed, sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, you know, and I just found that these are the areas where it kind of shows you the temptation coming and then the overcoming afterwards. And I just think it's neat. And of course there's the part at the end there where God
makes a real big promise here for you. In 16. And verse 7 mentions having therefore these promises, you know, I will dwell in them and walk. So his spirit, his anointed and Holy Spirit will most definitely come into you, because he did say he was going to send that comforter in that other John verse there. And there's a walk there with the Father, and that I just think is neat. And all the other things there, and instruction also on what you're supposed to do to the from the 16th verse there to the end of chapter 6 in 2 Corinthians. So it's actually showing you a lot of out of the things that a Christian goes through to be confident in the Lord, to be exercised in the Lord, to learn the difference between the tempter's voice and the Lord's voice. You know, it's so bad sometimes you can say, Lord, I've heard enough of this tempter. When am I going to start hearing from you? You know, and of course that's a request. It's a prayer, and it's nice to hear from the Lord.
Amen. Yes, it is. It's always good to hear from Him, and it encourages us when He does. Sometime I'll ask Him. You know, I've heard a couple of the women in the Bible study, or not the Bible study, but the morning prayer meeting. They'll ask the Lord, you know, I've heard this some time back. Lord, give me a word of encouragement or correction. And He'll do it. He'll do it. And I've learned to do that occasionally, just to keep myself in check, you know. And the Lord is faithful. He'll do it for you. He'll give you a word of encouragement or correction, you know. And He just wants you to keep straight with Him at all times. Okay, anybody else? Did you have anything else, Andrew? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, I was just thinking, I'm sure a lot of people need encouragement, you know. Who was the guy there in the book of Acts, the encourager, Barnabas?
Yeah, that was Barnabas.
I'd sure like to hang out with him for a while.
Amen. Amen.
That's all.
You know, talking about the characters in the Bible, y'all remember some of Tom Kruger's confessions or testimony when he was up in heaven. And he talked about some of them, you know, and one of them, they kind of put another light on Paul, was that he's a real studious guy. He's a real, he's teaching all the time. He's all the time teaching up there in heaven. That's what he likes to do. That's his forte, you know. He knows a lot, so he's teaching. And then, of course, then he talked about Jeremiah. He said, you know, and he's called the weeping prophet in the Old Testament from some people. But he said he's a real cut up. So he's a clown, you know. I thought that was pretty cool. I said, me and him get along well. So that's good. And then he talked about other people. I think he saw David, King David up there, and some more people. Anyway, circumstances don't dictate what we do, don't dictate our lives, or shouldn't. You know, sometimes we get short with one another because of whatever, you know. Well, we shouldn't. And, you know, I'm guilty at times, you know. I get in one of those be doing something and somebody would distract me, and used to, it'd make me mad, you know. And but now I just, if I feel that irritation, I'll just let it go. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, I had to think about this a little bit. You know, the circumstances that we go through, like we're talking about, whatever it is. I mean, you think about Tom Kruger. Wow, he went through some pretty physical stuff there, you know, having that meningitis or whatever it was in his back, laid him right out, lost all his feeling, lost everything, then dies on an operating table on the second operation, goes to heaven, has his wonderful experiences, then he's sent back, and he comes back, and he goes through the rehabilitation with the Lord. You know, basically faith and trust, and walks out of the hospital. And they said he'd never walk out within 2 months, and you know, they were thinking years before he'd do anything. But all through that, you don't see where he's saying, "Well, why me, God? Why did this happen?" You don't see where we're taking the circumstance God put us through and saying, "What did I do wrong?" Or "Why did this come on me?" It's just, this is what happened. And this is what I went through, and this is what I experienced, and this is what we had to do in the process. And it was a process of overcoming the whole way. And understand, and it's not necessarily understanding why it comes on you, it's understanding what you had to do to go get through it, and what you got out of that. I'm speaking personally out of that, personal experience right now. The last time we were on the meeting on the Tuesday night, Wednesday, I had something on top of me, a spirit. And I was like, "Oh my God, what is this?" It made me just feel loud, not physically like a physical lousiness, but just like totally alienation, just oh. And it was just mounting and crashing against me and causing this confusion. And it was, you know, the railing in my head and making me feel like I didn't even want to be alive, and just all this bad just all over me, and I couldn't get away from it. And finally, I woke up in the morning, about 1 a.m. I started praying about it in the Lord, and I said, you know, take it away from me, get this thing off of me. I can't cast it. It's just like it's on me. And then the morning I asked Thursday, it would have been this morning. Wednesday morning, I asked the Lord what this was. And he said, you know, he gave me Mark 9:26, and it was talking about the terrible youth that had some kind of deaf and mute spirit that tried to kill this young man, and his father was coming to Jesus about it, and he said sometimes even throw him in a fire. And his disciples couldn't cast him out. And Jesus and the kid, and then when his disciples asked him why he couldn't cast them out and asked him privately, he said, this kind cannot come out without anything but prayer. And that's what I ended up doing. I had to pray to the Lord. I said, I'm at my wit's end on this. So I don't know what this is, but I don't know what's going on. And then it finally left. But I had to go to the Lord and have this thing go away. Because it was an attack that I couldn't handle, and I think, you know, it has nothing to do with any kind of punishment as much as it is just like we're learning here. Whatever the God's going to take you through, and what you got to come to terms with about your weak, how weak you are, where you're going to depend upon the Lord to get you through the circumstance. And that's what he was showing me. It's like, okay, now I'm the one that's going to drive this thing out. I'm the one that's going to do these things. He didn't show me any. I mean, I'm looking for anything I might have did or messed up along the way. But, you know, it might not have anything to do with you making a mistake. It's just what God's going to take you through so he can reveal something to you and show you things.
Absolutely.
Amen. That's right. You know, the interesting thing about Tom was how he got in the spirit. When he got in the spirit, he'd go places in the spiritual realm with angels and what have you. And, but the one thing that Tom had trouble doing, and that was getting in the Word and understanding doctrine. And that was always amazing. You know, I wanted to be in that spiritual realm, like he said. When he was in the hospital, he could almost instantaneously drop off into the spiritual realm and see angels and travel in all this stuff, see all these wonderful things that you see in the spirit realm. And that was his focus. His focus was always to get into the spirit realm and to do that, and more than getting into the Word and understanding what the Word of God says, and to keep yourself straight. Because I often wondered, you know, if you don't get in the Word and you understand who Jesus is and what your walk is supposed to be like, can you be deceived? Can you be deceived by an angel of light? Yeah, you can. And that's why it's critical to renew your mind with the Word of God all the time. I envied him, because he could drop off into the spirit. He said even after he got out of the hospital, he said, man, it'd take hours to get into the spirit. He said, but now I've gotten, if I do that regularly, he said, I can get into the spirit in about 2 hours. You know, drop off into the spirit and do whatever those they do, you know. And you talk to him about doctrine, and he's 100% into the what he's heard in the regular denominational churches, you know. So the biggest thing, our biggest thing, is to understand the Word of God and what our position is in Christ. That's even more important. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Prayer time and communion with God is awesome. That's a critical. But renewing your mind with the Word of God is also very critical. It has to be a balance there. It has to be a real balance. Man, I'd love to be able to just drop off and go off somewhere, you know, tooling around, hanging out with the boys and the angels, you know. You know what I'm talking about? But I don't want to be deceived either. I don't want to get in a place to where I don't understand that it's Satan that's deceiving me into whatever situation you get yourself into, you know. Anyway, I just thought I'd throw that out there. Boy, it was, man, I hung on to every word he said, because he'd been up there and talked to Jesus, you know, and talked to all those great people of the Old Testament and New Testament. And praise God. And you know, how many times have we heard of people going to heaven, or prophets or prophetesses that have gotten words from God, but he'd never correct their bad doctrine? There's this one lady that every now and then she comes out with some good prophecies, but she doesn't understand end time sequence of events. She's into that going to be raptured out of here before all the bad stuff starts stuff. And then when God gives her some good revelation, she, Lord, we're not going to be here for that. Why are you giving me this? You know, that kind of thing. And the Lord doesn't correct her. He just gives her the message, and she's supposed to give it out. Y'all know who I'm talking about, Mina Lee Graben. She does that. But maybe she'll catch on before too much longer. He keeps giving her these prophecies about end time things that are happening, or going to happen. Okay, anybody else want to talk about something? About these circumstances that come up, and how we don't let them burden us down. We can't let them burden you down. Some of you are believing for people in your family. What we got to do is just believe and don't worry about the circumstances that happen in front of you. Just believe for them. Call out to them. Praise God. Yeah, Missy, go ahead.
That was my cue when you said about that. Because when you were saying earlier, I was thinking about sharing this. When you were saying about there are ones that now and then, you know, ask the Lord for a word of correction or encouragement. Well, I think this is the first time I asked the Lord this. And that was on the 5th. And this is what he gave me. He gave me Isaiah 49:18. And I'll read that verse, but then I'll go back and read the verses previous to it, because it tells you, it explains what he's saying in verse 18. But verse 18 says, lift up thine eyes round about, and behold, all these gather themselves together and come to thee. As I live, says the Lord, thou shalt surely clothe thee with them all as with an ornament, and gird thyself with them like a bride. But if you get back to 14, it says, but Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me, and the Lord hath forgotten me. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, these may forget, yet will not I forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. Thy children make haste. Thy destroyers, they that made thee waste, shall go forth from thee. Lift up thine eyes round about, and behold, all these gather themselves together, and come to thee. As I live, says the Lord, thou shalt surely clothe thee with them as with an ornament, and gird thyself with them like a bride. For as for thy waste and thy desolate places and thy land that hath been destroyed, surely now shalt thou be too straight for the inhabitants, and they that swallowed thee up shall be far away. And the children of thy bereavement shall yet say in thine ears, the place is too straight for me. Give place to me that I may dwell. Then shalt thou say in thy heart, who hath begotten me these, seeing I have been bereaved of my children, and am solitary and an exile, and wandering to and fro? And who hath brought up these? Behold, I was left alone. These, where were they? And I remember David talking about this once, and what he was saying here was, you know, these last verses are talking about revival. So I was like, I was really encouraged when he gave me that. So,
amen.
Yeah, he basically was, what I got out of it is he was saying, you know, that the Lord's gonna gather my children, my family, and he's gonna bring revival, you know.
Amen.
So
I believe we're right on the verge of it too, Missy.
Mm-hmm.
I do.
Yep.
I think we're gonna see it here in a little bit.
Amen.
Things are popping around here.
Bring it on, Lord. Bring it on.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. I'm looking for revival. I want revival. I want people to experience, myself included, the glory of God, the Shekinah glory down on his people that would encourage them to hang in there. You know, it's everything, all this stuff we've gone through, it's going to be so worth it in the end. It's going to be so worth it. Praise God.
What was it? Isaiah what?
49. 18,
I read that was.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. Anybody else? Yeah, Tim, go ahead, buddy.
Well, I got a verse that's kind of encouraging. Came across it the other morning, and I liked it, so I thought I'd share that. It's Psalms 37, 3-6. Trust in Jehovah and do good, dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight thyself also in Jehovah, and he will give thee the desires of thy heart. Commit thy way unto Jehovah, trust also in him, and he will bring it to pass. And he will make thy righteousness to go forth as the light, and thy justice as the noonday.
Amen. That's a good.
Yeah. I like it.
Amen. At number four, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he will give thee the desires of thy heart. Well, what's the desires of our heart? Well, if you're walking with the Lord, it's going to be the same desires that the Lord has in it. So he's going to give them to you. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will bring it to pass. That's the key right there. That's another key right there. We have to not only have faith, but we have to have the trust in God that he's going to bring it to pass. Faith and trust. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I remember, I think it's 3 or 4 years ago, a study that David did on that, you know, that when your desires line up with God's desires, that it all lines up and it all comes to pass real easy. So.
Amen. That's right. Because you've got the same desires as the Lord does. They're not going to be something wild out there. You're going to have the same desires as he has. We just want to do what he wants us to do, don't we? Your will be my will. Isn't that what the Lord Jesus said? Your will is my will. That's what I want. I want to walk with Jesus. I want to walk in Jesus. I heard a preacher one time say, I want to be so close to Jesus that when I die, I'll just be a half a step away from him. Yeah, me too. Won't even know what. Is that? That's Jackie. Hey, Jackie. There's Willie. Hi, Willie.
Hey, God bless you.
You too, Jackie.
Thank you. Are you sharing scriptures?
Yeah, you got one?
Yes, sir. I had a pretty cool revelation.
All right.
This happened this morning when I asked the Lord for a word. He gave me 1 Timothy 5, and I read the whole chapter. But the verse that he gave me was 1 Timothy 5:5, and a really cool revelation. I'll read the verse if it's okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
It says, now she that is a widow indeed and desolate hath her hope set on God and continues in supplications and prayers night and day. All right.
Where do you start at?
1 Timothy 5:5.
Oh, okay.
Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate hath her hope set on God and continues in supplications and prayers night and day. The revelation the Lord gave me when I read this morning, I thought, 5:5, that when I was originally coming down to Tennessee, it was on May 5th in 2012. And then the Lord, remember my late husband and I were going to come and stay at the boarding house where you were living. And then he chose to take Mac, which was good. And then on 5:5 the following year, I came down and got baptized, which was really awesome. And so 5:5 always meant double grace, but I never looked at this verse. And for about 5 years now, Brother Rob has been telling me that I'm a type of Anna. He felt the Lord had a calling for me for a type of Anna to be in the temple and offer prayers and supplications night and day. And he's always referred to me sort of as an Anna type. And when I got this verse this morning, I'm like, Lord, 5:5, that's the day you chose to baptize me on, like water baptized me. And then you gave me this verse, and it speaks exactly what Anna was doing. You know, she's in the temple, and she, you know, night and day for like 80, 7 years or something and just offered prayers and supplications up to the Father night and day. So I was really excited because it just spoke volumes to me, and it was just so personal the way the Lord did it. And like it came from all different angles. It came from you, it came from Rob, it came from being down in Tennessee, it came from the brother that fell away that was talking to me about baptism. It came from so many different people, and then the numbers, even 5-5, like when I was supposed to be there 1 year, and then he withheld that until the following year, and then put it in my heart to get baptized. I was just really excited. So thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Yeah, it's something the Father can do. Only the Father can do something like that.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, amen. And your study last night, Michael, blessed me too.
Okay, praise God.
It spoke volumes to me too, and on a lot of things that I've been getting counseled on and praying about and struggling with. So it's given a lot of answers, so thank you.
Okay. It's at number 9 here, Jackie. Let none be enrolled as a widow under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man. I know you're not anywhere near 80 years old, are you?
You're a very wise brother.
I just knew that. Oh, me. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Yeah, I was talking to Rob about that today, actually. We were discussing this chapter, and I was like, I don't fit in there. I don't fit in. Like, it gives like a time frame, and I was in my 40s, so just, but no, I'm not 80 years old yet.
80 years.
Yeah.
That was a long time ago. Oh, thank you, Lord, for 80 years again. No, I wouldn't trade a day of it, I tell you. I've just had a wonderful time since I've been out here. Wonderful time. I get to meet all of y'all when you come down. Okay. That's a good one, Jackie. That's good. God just encouraging you, isn't he? He told me that's what he's going to do with Jeanette. It's make her a prayer warrior, too.
Amen. That's awesome. That's what I didn't see it. I didn't. And I even fought it. I mean, like, when I would get counsel through email, like after Mac died from Rob, counseled me a lot. He's a good brother, and that's who, when I sent him for prayer and counsel, that's who Robin had sent it to, and somehow he got stuck with me counseling me, and I'm sure it wasn't easy on his part.
Yeah.
I fought it a lot, and he kept saying, I think you're a type of Anna, and I thought, like, I didn't understand it, and as I studied, and now that it's 5 years later, it's like it's finally sinking in, so I'm finding out what the Lord's will is for me, and that's nice when you find out what the Lord wants you to do.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah. my wife sees a lot of things in the spirit realm. And one day we was out on the back deck, and I said, man, that's a beautiful moon, but it was just a crescent. It was an ascending crescent. And it's one that's coming up to make a full moon, And she said, you see that? I said, yeah, I see the moon. She said, no. She said, there's a flagpole going up on top of it. And I'm looking. I said, a flagpole? I don't see no flagpole. She said, yeah, there's a flagpole going up, and the American flag's going up it. I said, get out of town. She said, yeah. Said, I see a flagpole with a flag going up it. And then she said, it's flying up there. The flag is flying on top of the moon. And I said, okay. I don't question that she sees or not sees, I just go in there and look in the cabinet and see if she's taking any kind of medication. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding you. No, but she has most of our, ever since I've known her, she's had spiritual sightings and things like that. She sees in the spiritual realm. And then we go out there again the next night, or maybe two or three nights later, and I say, do you see anything up there? Is the flag still up there? She said, yeah. She said, the flag is flying. It's blowing in the breeze up there. And she said, there are light beams coming out of the bottom of it. I said, really? She said, yeah. I said, the light beams are coming out of the bottom of the moon and shooting out in space. I said, cool, that's cool. And then maybe three or four days or maybe a week or two weeks later, you know, I'd go out there. We'd be out there on the porch, maybe a full moon. I said, what do you see? You know, I'm just checking. And what do you see? She said, yep, it's still there. That flag is still there. And the beams are still coming out of the bottom of it. I never did figure out what that was. At the time, we were having a lot of trouble. That's been, oh gosh, eight or nine years ago. And that was when we were having a lot of trouble over in the Middle East, like we still are, you know. And I thought maybe it might have been that the United States was going to be ruling over those particular Muslim countries at some point in time. But I don't really know what it means now, but that's what she saw. Another time was in a Baptist church when I just got saved and was listening to this lady sing. She said, well, after we was sitting there, and she said, after the lady got down, she said, you see that? I said, what? She said, I saw a big angel behind that woman. I said, you been taking that medication again? I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have said that. She clammed up. And I said, I'm sorry. You know, I try to take it all back. You know, you can't take nothing back that you've already spewed out of your stupid mouth, you know. And, she did. She'd seen a large angel behind that young lady that was singing. And, so afterwards, I caught the lady and I told her, I said, my wife saw a big old angel behind you. And it just blessed her so much, you know. And but my old stupid self, I had to, and she wouldn't tell me anything she'd seen for maybe a year after that, you know. She wouldn't tell me nothing. She said, I'm not telling you what I saw last night. I said, oh, come on, honey, tell me what you do. You know, come on, baby. You know, do that old stuff. But she wouldn't tell me. But she finally started telling me stuff now. She's been to heaven. I didn't even know that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, she's done a lot of, but she prays a lot. She prays a lot at night. So like you do, Jackie. She intercedes a lot. Praise God.
Yeah, amen. It's comforting, you know. It's comforting when you're just praying, you know, and you don't even know sometimes what you're praying for, and you're just praying, and it's just awesome when the Lord encourages you and gives you revelations. I just love that part. Or you have some understanding. Like last night, your teaching was exactly what we were discussing for a couple of days that I've been struggling with. Not a couple of days, maybe a couple of weeks. And I was getting pretty adamant and demanding on my end. And go figure.
Yeah.
Not in the council like I should, exactly, and I was like having some fear, and you were talking about fear and putting your trust in man as opposed to God, and just like everything. And I didn't hear the teaching last night. I kind of went out last night in the evening for a little bit, and Rob texted and said, awesome teaching tonight, sis, and I texted back like about an hour later I was going to start it, and I didn't listen until today, And then we were both just laughing because him and his wife just left here. They just came over and they ate over here tonight. And we were just sharing how, like Rob said, I had to look and check myself and pat myself down because I thought maybe I had like microphones on me or something, that Michael was listening to our conversation, because like every word last night was exactly what I needed to hear. We were just praised God for that because we said the Lord spoke. I mean, I don't know if it blessed everybody else, but he spoke straight through you to me, and it was a blessing. And we were sharing that, and his wife is getting blessed by it too. So, amen.
Yeah. Brilliant minds think a lot, don't they, Jackie?
Brilliant minds. Yeah, because even when I wasn't listening to some stuff, Rob always threatens me, and he says, why don't we call Michael and see what he thinks about this and see what he tells us? And I was like, just leave Michael out of this. I'm
going to
call Michael for nothing.
Oh, my goodness. Praise God. Amen. Yeah, I like Rob. He's a good guy. He keeps you under his thumb, don't he?
He's trying.
Praise God.
A little bit. I still buck a little bit, but I gave him permission to put his hand on me. And said, just step on me and hold me down with his flesh dies if that's what I need.
Amen.
I was like, I need to be strong.
Are y'all coming down next pot blessing? Now, don't put it off another month. If you put it off another month, we'll have to do some serious praying here.
I was supposed to be down here in October, and then the Lord didn't move me.
I know.
So postponed it, and then November came and went, and I'll have to ask him, because he said next time he thinks his wife is going to go down. So I'm
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, where that leads. So maybe it will be December.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Okay. Well, now that we've had a little nice conversation here, has anybody got anything to share?
Thank you.
Thank you, Jackie. Well, Julie, you want to update us on what's going on with you, girl? Uh-huh. See, I put you on the spot, didn't I? You froze up. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Couldn't get my mic open. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can.
Well, it's nice really encouraging me because I guess I needed to take some time off of work. So the Lord opened up the opportunity for me to do that. And tonight's conversation about circumstances and the trials and all that has just been encouraging me with all the going through stuff. Between work and dealing with unbelievers and not being around a lot of, people who have the word in them. On a regular basis, it's been a trial in itself, but always being able to listen to you all, later, not live, but later, listening to the recordings always blesses me too. And what Missy shared Tuesday night about what she learned down there about faction and rejection and all that stuff, the Lord's been teaching me that as well, not necessarily in the body of Christ, but just in people in general who have that spirit, the criticism, the judgment, the unforgiveness, the rejection, and very opinionated and controlling and manipulating, all kinds of stuff. You can see it in other people. They don't necessarily have to be in the body. But the Lord had warned me to stay away from certain people at work and stuff, and just keep my boundaries away. But yeah, I still have to work with them, so but just to be cautious. And so anyhow, things are going well. God always has a way of bringing people into my life that I need, or I need to He brings people. Like I think I sent a text. I guess this was. I don't know if it was Monday or Tuesday, about somebody the Lord brought across my path that needed prayer.
Young man.
Needed some help, yeah. That was a divine appointment that the Lord was, it blessed me because it just helped me to see how, the enemy had been discouraging me about, just a lot of the same stuff, accusation, condemnation, false guilt, and unbelief and doubting, and then here or brings me somebody who needs whatever it is they need, and he just took over, and it was an awesome experience. So thanks for those who prayed for this young man. His name was Chad, and it was a neat thing. Yeah, it was always an encouragement when the enemy has been plundering, beating on you, and you're just, the warfare is heavy, and then God brings you somebody who you're able to minister to. And it was kind of like, take that, Satan, plundering his kingdom, helping somebody else get freed up from some stuff. So
that's always a blessing, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. The scripture that came to my mind was how Jesus said it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. And it was truly a blessing. I heard the Lord tell me that morning, I'm going to bless you. And I'm like, oh yeah, what are you going to do for me today, Lord? All around, I'm looking for the blessing, And that wasn't exactly what he had in mind, And I was just on cloud nine most of the day after that.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord.
It was pretty neat.
Well, that boy was blessed too, I'm sure. Or that young man, I should say.
Amen.
Well, all right. Well, at some point in time, we'll be able to see you more regularly, I believe.
Well, Lord willing, I'll be back here next Thursday.
Okay. Praise God.
Look forward to seeing you again in a week.
Yeah.
Took a little more time off. I got to use up the rest of my time off between now and the end of the year. So I took a couple days this week, a couple days next week, some time off over Thanksgiving, some time off in December. Yeah, I just got to use it. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, use it up and come on out of here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Lord, you heard that.
Make a way, Lord, and I'll go.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Yeah, we would love to see you. I did want to tell you what I heard last night from Leon had to help me here. We heard on InfoWars, this guy called in and talked about, apparently he's got a connection in the deep state that informs him as to what's going on. And he said that Yemeni Muslims are in this country, a group of them are in this country to create a false flag. In other words, it's going to be a big false flag event that apparently kill a lot of folks. So what we've done is prayed against that. And so if y'all would just pray against that thing from happening. He seemed to think it was going to happen within just a week or so, didn't he, Leon? Yeah, I think so. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we come against this attempt to kill folks in this United States. Lord, we ask and we pray that you expose this corruptness that's going on, the evil that's behind it, the people that are behind bringing those people over here, Lord, for that. And, Father, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that you are going to dismantle this group of men that's come over here to wreak havoc on innocent people. And Father, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that you're also got your hedge of protection around all of your chosen people from any kind of harm coming to them in the name of Jesus. We thank you for that, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that your angels are round about President Trump and his family, Lord, that you're protecting them. We praise you for doing that, Lord, and all the members of his cabinet that are loyal to making America great again, as he says. And, Father, we thank you for that. And we thank you, Lord, that you're going to expose to the very top the evil, corrupt people that are trying to destroy this country. And we thank you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, that you have told us months back that you're going to put Trump in there in order that we would have a relatively easy time, that we wouldn't have some despot up there running things that would be against Christians, that you would allow him to be the Cyrus to help us, Lord, build the kingdom during the next 3.5 years. And Father, we thank you for that. We praise you, Father, for putting a hedge of protection around all of your chosen all over the world. And we thank you, Lord, that you're going to bring down all of these corrupt, evil governments in South Africa and elsewhere, Lord, elsewhere too. And we thank you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, that you're bringing down these child trafficking, these exposing them for what they are and exposing the people behind them. Lord, I ask that you protect those kids and those women and men that are in, that are, have been victimized by that, Lord, and bring them to you, Lord. Let that be a chance for them to grab a hold of you, Lord. And we thank you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, that it's all going to turn out to the good for those that love you, Lord. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that this attempt to come with a big false flag is going to go haywire for them. And everything is going to be exposed. And people are going to be thrown in jail that they might repent, Father. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Yeah, Leon.
Hey, we'd like to give Jim and Nora a chance to speak about those panhandlers or extortionists, what Nora called them last week. Just as we were going off the air, remember she was talking about that? They're talking to each other about that. And
yeah.
Then,
you're talking about people that bum and do that for a living.
Yeah, yeah, maybe they would like to explain that a little further. And
I remember David talking about that. They had a couple in their fellowship one time, and they just kept borrowing from people. They'd borrow from people all the time, and they'd borrow this, they'd borrow that, they'd borrow money. They borrow money, and they borrow money, and this went on for months and months. And then David cried out to the Lord, and the Lord told him, said, kick the babies out of the nest. And so that's what he did. He went, but first he used those people to kill the flesh of the people in that fellowship. Because I'm going to mute you, Leon. The scriptures in there, you know, somebody asks you to give them something, you to go ahead and give it to them without question, you know, and just give it to them. If they borrow something, don't worry about it, just give it to them. And that's what the Lord was teaching this group, what David was in with this couple, until it just got to a point to where everybody was, it was just obvious of what they were doing. They were just taking advantage of people. And the Lord told him, said, kick the birds out of the nest. And of course, that's what David told him to do. And they went down to another place down south Louisiana. This is when David was in Baton Rouge. And they went down to south Louisiana and got in another fellowship there. And the pastor called him after a while, and he said, do you know these people? And David said, oh, yeah, we know them, you know. And he was talking to him about them. And so they move around. Some people just move around to mooch off people. So that's what he taught us, you know, is maybe the Lord's teaching people to with extortioners and with people, panhandlers and moochers and whatever you want to call them, to go ahead and do what the scripture says to a point, And then after that point, you know, kick the birds out the nest because they're causing havoc in the fellowship. Go ahead, Dave.
I say David called that as something. I can't remember what that he called that. That was a spirit, some kind of a spirit that's on them people.
Spirit of motion?
Something like, I can't think of what the term was. A graph comes to mind, but I don't think that's what it was.
Yeah. Well, that's what it is. It's graph. Also.
Is it? Yeah. It was just, you know, and he talked about how they kicked that spirit out of them, and they were good for a little short while.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. I've forgotten about that.
She withered all over the floor like a snake. And
stuff. Yeah.
So,
they repented for a while, didn't they?
Yeah, these spirits are frightening, you know. They are frightening what they do.
Yeah.
So.
They make people stupid. They do. They make people just absolutely stupid. They make cartoon characters out of a lot of them. Go ahead, Nora.
Joe was just asking me to ask, we must supply the UVM stuff to Africa and beyond. And we get lots of requests for, you can sort of see the people, because we ask them where they heard of UVM. And these people, they do a search on the web for free stuff. And then they request everything available. And then in their special features, they ask someone to send 50 Bibles or something like that. So we're a bit in a fix for having, being led by the Lord. Because unfortunately, in Africa, religion is a money-making business. So we never know how to, we don't know these people from a bar of soap. So we have no connection, we have no idea what they're into, what they teach, anything. So I made a stamp that says it's a free copy, not for sale, to make sure that they don't sell off whatever we sent them. But it gets a bit tricky to know how many of them really need the stuff to be encouraged by the Lord and to learn more, and how many of them just get it from us to
the free stuff.
Yeah, the free stuff to make money out of it.
Do they always want, you know, a lot of stuff or what?
Most of them mark everything available.
Oh, do
some Bibles.
Yeah, and then they ask for extra textbooks or Bibles. Now, the postage in Africa is very expensive. And even our post office is so they're falling this way and that. We send the same kind of package every time, basically. And sometimes it's like 33 rand, and other times it's over 100 per packet. So it's a luck of a draw which person we get at the post office. They don't have a hard and fast rule on it. And the addresses the people send us, especially people like Nigerians, they send us addresses that don't make sense at all. It's like behind their hotel, around the corner. That's what their address sounds like. So it's extremely difficult. Then we ask them to confirm an address, and then it comes out totally different than the previous one. So we just pray that the stuff reach them. But, I mean, we would like wisdom to not spend money on these kinds of people that just...
Well... there's two things you can do. In my mind, somebody else may have something else, and that's fine. One is just pray and ask the Lord, what do you want us to do in this situation? Should we send them what they request? Or you can do this. You can send them Sovereign God and put a little note in there and say, you know, once you get through with this study, request another book that you think would be, would help your help you then yourself. You know, they just want for themselves, or do they want for a group, or just for themselves?
Mostly groups. It's
mostly. Oh, really?
Yeah, we have about two or three people that obviously has been studying it, because then they request. We copy the discs with the teachings on them that in an MP3 format, so that we can send them lots and lots, as opposed to the cost of the weight of a book. So we send them what they request, and then we find that out of the same email we get the request to a different address. So that's encouraging that they spread the word, and other people is also wanting that. But
that's a good idea, Nora. Instead of sending the books, send them the CDs.
Yes, we send them six CDs. We send the three first Hidden Manners, the DVDs of Hidden Manor, and then we send a compilation of the one-hour teachings. And
80s and
90s. 80s and 90s. There's a bunch of six CDs that we sent. And then Joe made a lovely little booklet with the highlights of, like, Once Saved, Always Saved, When Shall We Go, few hit points of, like, in a little booklet.
Awesome.
That we made up to cut the costs back, because it's really, really expensive.
Okay. Go ahead, Leah. Leon actually is fixing to take over that here, that same same thing. Go ahead, Leon.
The thing about if they're asking for a group can listen to one CD, but the group can't read one Bible. Yeah. So if they're asking for a group, send them the CDs and tell them that's all we can afford to do. We have limited.
Well, I wouldn't tell them, man. Just send them the CDs. I wouldn't even explain it, you know.
Yeah. That's good,
Leah. Go ahead.
Sorry. We once had this guy that requested stuff, and then he requested again, and we asked him if he can't just, like, hook up with the other guy that received it. And then he replied back and said he's like a day's walk from, he lives more than a day's walk from these other guys. So it's impossible. He has no other means of transport. So he was, I think, up in Nigeria. So he couldn't get to them on his off day to reach them. So we sent him a stack as well.
Yeah. Go ahead, Leah.
Well, they can make copies of those CDs to pass on to their friends.
No, they have very limited resources. Many of them don't even have a TV. They have very, very limited. They don't have data.
Why do you say limited resources and I can't?
Say again?
I'm sorry. I said, how come you can say limited resources and Michael says I can't say that?
She's talking about the people have limited resources. Not that we have limited resources, because we have God as our back, you know.
They don't even have means to print stuff, or they can't download their data. And internet connections are even much more expensive than South Africa's ones, and we are heavy. But they don't have any means of downloading stuff, or they really, really don't have printers, computers, those kind of stuff. But most of them have a cell phone.
Well, they do have the MP3 players, the CD player?
Sounds like it.
Yes, yeah. I have a little sticker that says if it doesn't play on the DVD, because our TVs are, man, they live in a what do you call it, shack, heat together with shambles, but they have a TV, so that's strange. But they must, we pray that the Lord provide for them. like walking all this distance to go and watch it at somebody else who has the means or the TV or the whatever.
Yeah. Well, it sounds... Go ahead, Leah.
Did you say that they have telephone?
Yes, cell phone. Cell phone. Yes.
They can download from the website, too.
They can't. The data is very expensive. The internet connections here in South Africa is very, very expensive. And up in Africa, most of the people can't afford downloading. They can search the web, but they can't afford downloading. It's too expensive. Very, very expensive.
They charge by data, I guess.
Yes. Where do you buy your book from, Lulu? Do you get some of your stuff from Lulu also, or what?
No, we print it ourselves. We print the PDF versions ourselves.
You print everything yourself?
Yes. Yeah. We have a printing company that we go to.
Oh, okay.
So we pay for the printing of the people.
Are they pretty expensive?
Yes. Yes, it's
really
expensive.
Well, it sounds like to me, and you know, I'm sitting over here in America where we, you know, everything is okay, you know, not over there where you've got people out in the out that doesn't have the amenities that we have. Sounds to me like it requires a lot of prayer and a lot of asking the Lord, do I send what they want? Tell me what you want me to send to these people. Tell me what you want me to send to those people. And I know that requires a lot of praying, but I don't know. You know, I don't know what else to tell you, but other than what you've been doing, and that's just send the CDs and pray that they have a way to play the CDs. You know.
Yes. There were once or twice that the people studied stuff and then asked specifically for the Hidden Manna book. So then, and in a few cases, we sent the Sovereign God book as well.
Yeah.
But I mean, Hidden Manna is like a Bible. It's this thing if we put it out on paper. So
I know. What I would do first is get their doctrines right, and then Sovereign God gets them on the road to that. Pretty easily. And they might want Hidden Manna. You know, I might send them the first, what is it, the first four chapters in that. And which takes in the tribulation and takes in both of the, what's he called those, chapter two and chapter four.
What you're saying, yes.
Yeah, the keys. Yeah, the keys to the kingdom. Yeah. I'd send them that, you know, and anything else they'd want, you know, you'd have to pray about it, I guess. I don't know.
We really don't mind sending it to the people that need and want to study it. But there's many times I get an email and I just have this knowledge that the people are just serving the web for free stuff, whatever they can get and sell off for money.
Well, if your heart tells you not to send it, don't send it, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay. Thank you.
I know what you're talking about. I've dealt with people in Ghana before and that were refugees from Liberia back years ago, and we started a ministry over there, this young lady did, and it was hard to know when, you know, just like you're talking about, when to send money. She had a guy come on there and come into her ministry that wanted to be the executive whatever, you know. And he wanted $600 for a desk, and he wanted this, and he wanted that, you know. And I told him, I said, look, this is an orphanage. This is not a a place that you need to do this kind of stuff. You're spending money on the kids, not yourself, you know. And anyway, I don't know. We called it the Abiding in Christ Ministries. She did. She was this young lady, man. She was on fire for God. And she walked and hitchhiked all the way back to Liberia when the government there got settled, you know, back a few years back, back in, that had to have been about 09 or 10, somewhere along in there, 2010, 2009. She took her sister and her little sister and her little brother all the way back to Liberia and started another ministry. Her mother and daddy were killed right in front of them, massacred right in front of them. And she took them all the way back to Liberia and started the ministry there. And then she got married to somebody that was fairly wealthy. And they moved here to the United States. And she called me from Washington, D.C. years ago. And we talked for a few minutes. And it was hard for me to understand her. She knew English, but kind of like y'all's English. She couldn't understand me, and I couldn't understand her, you know. Praise God. But anyway, oh, my goodness, look at the time. I'm sorry. But anyway, praise God. Okay. What do y'all want to talk about next Tuesday? Let me pray. Let me pray first. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just thank you for this evening. We thank you, Lord, for the work you're doing in us, Lord. We thank you, Father, that these circumstances aren't going to bother us anymore. Lord, we just put our trust in you completely. And we thank you, Father, that we can trust you for what your promises say. Your promises are for us. Yes, and amen. Praise God. And we know that when we pray and we believe what we pray, we're going to get it. We thank you, Lord, that these prayers we pray tonight are going to be answered, already been answered. You've already sent the angels out to do the work, Lord. And we thank you for it. And we praise you, Father, for everything that's been said tonight. That it goes in deep into our hearts, Lord. The good teachings, the good verses that we've had, the encouragements that we've had, Lord, and we thank you for it. Give us a good night's sleep tonight, Lord, and bless everybody until we meet again, Lord. Keep them safe, protect them, protect their families, and bless them, Father, in Jesus' name. Okay, did anybody have a subject for next Tuesday? Jackie, you had your hand up.
Yes, sir. I was thinking maybe if anybody's led to share like what the Lord has shown them, what his purpose is for them or what he wants from them or how he's taken them through their walk. Because like when I shared mine tonight, the 5-5 came like 5 years ago, you know, when I was supposed to be there. And then when that didn't happen, I was devastated. And the next year, 5-5, he put again. You know, and I was just elated that year. And then, like now, 5 years later, he gives me 5-5, and it's the verse that confirms what a brother told me 5 years ago was my calling. So it's, like, amazing, you know, just how the Lord put the 5-5 was there. The 1 Timothy 5-5 is in the Word, and it was there all along. I just didn't know it, you know, and now he just revealed it this morning to me. So maybe if anybody has anything to share where the Lord has called them or what they feel their calling is or something like that, because that would probably encourage a lot of people.
Amen. That everybody clear on that? Okay. That sounds like she wants everybody give her a testimony. Give a little bit of testimony of where God's got you and what he's doing in your life.
Amen.
What do y'all think? Okay. All right. I expect something from out everybody. Everybody. Love somebody. All right. Willie, how you doing, brother? Okay. How's your mama?
She needs a boy.
All right. Good night, everybody. Bless you.
Good night.
All right.